How should Christians live in light of all of this COVID-19 stress? That's what we're going to talk about on today's exciting episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. So glad that you've joined us. We're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. You can get your questions answered by Bob and Sean by sending us an email. You can send that email to radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to Grace in Focus, where we're taking your questions. Send them to radio@faithalone.org. Send us your questions. We'd love to hear from you. I have a question from Kimberly. Kimberly wanted to know, just very broadly, how should Christians be dealing with stress during this coronavirus quarantine that we're all in? Because, frankly, it can be very stressful. And I think you and I kind of have it maybe easier than other people, but even us, we're feeling the stress here.
Well, I can give you a personal anecdote that Sharon and I, although we get along very well, there have been several times in the last couple of weeks where we've gotten in arguments and we've raised our voices or whatever. It's almost always my fault, but the truth is, I think some of it's related to this quarantining and this sheltering at home.
Well, everyone's fuse is a little bit shorter, or maybe a lot shorter, I think.
I'll give you an example, Sean. I normally don't work at home, but I'm working at home. So I was a little hungry, so I thought I'd make a smoothie.
Uh-huh.
I've got some almond milk, and I was going to put it in the blender and add some protein powder and some fruit. Anyway, I got the blender, but the parts were in the dishwasher. So Sharon helped me get it out, and somehow we put it together. I'm not sure she did, I did. I think I did, but maybe she did. We had the blender put together, or so I thought, and I put the almond milk in a cup and then poured it into the blender. And as I turned aside to get the protein powder, I looked back, and there was almond milk all over the counter. It had gone right through the blender.
Oh, yeah.
We hadn't screwed it on right.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, I can't believe this. And I was mad at myself.
Now, normally, okay, if you spill something, you move on. But in the coronavirus,
well, first of all, fuses, I'm thinking, I'm not even going to, I don't know if I can get any more almond milk. I'm keeping two at any one time, whereas normally I'd only have one because I don't know if I can get another one. Anyway, I was upset, and so Sharon started crying, and she was like, you're blaming me, and I'm like, look, it's really, I'm mad at myself. And the whole thing was related to all this confinement.
Yeah.
But in order to how to deal with the stress, I would say it's like everything else in the Christian life. It starts, of course, with being grateful for the free gift of everlasting life.
Yeah.
It starts with remembering the cross and the resurrection of Christ.
Mm.
We live at the foot of the cross. We live at the door of the empty tomb. We're living there out of our faith in our risen Lord,
right,
who's coming again for us soon. And so our hope of the soon rapture is part of handling the stress. I think some of the other factors that are involved, we need to recognize we're under more stress.
Yeah.
Instead of thinking, well, I'm a Christian, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which I should think.
Yeah.
I also need to realize I can do those things through the power of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And so I cannot rely on the fact that simply because I'm a believer, I'm going to do this right.
Sure.
I may do it wrong.
Sure.
And when I do, that's the time to tell Sharon, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I messed up. And that's for me to confess it to the Lord and go, Lord, I sinned here.
Yeah.
And we bounce back quickly if we're walking in fellowship with God.
Right.
And so I would say to handle the stress, make sure you're continuing to focus on Christ. Make sure you're still getting church. In our case, it's through Zoom. But in some way, get your regular input of the Word of God. And from a purely practical standpoint, make sure you're taking care of your body. Because the body is not disconnected from the soul and the spirit.
Yeah.
If you're not getting sufficient sleep, that makes the stress worse.
Sure, sure.
If you're not getting sufficient exercise, it used to be I was in the health club 6 or 7 days a week.
Right.
Now I'm having to walk outside and do my workouts outside, and if it's cold, I'm out there. If it's drizzling, I'm out there.
Yep.
I'm not getting the weightlifting, so I'm having to try to do push-ups, and right. that's not so great.
I've seen you do a push-up.
Yeah, they're pretty sorry.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It takes prayer. I'm going to think about you in prayer. I was talking to the kids about this a little bit. We were talking about triggers and how we need to start recognizing that they're – we were talking about, for them, sucking their thumbs
right.
and stuff like that. And we're just thinking about, okay, what are the triggers? What's the thing that makes you want to suck your thumb? And they say they started kind of naming some stuff of situations and even objects that would make them want to do that. And I think it's the same for us. I mean, when you're thinking about yourself, I mean, having a fight between husband and wife over literally spilled almond milk.
Right.
You know, that's the almond milk is not the thing. So what is the trigger?
The issue is not the issue.
Being a disciple of Christ is always something that you have to do deliberately. You have to be intentional about. Let me share a verse.
Yes.
All right, and I think is appropriate. It's from Colossians chapter 3. And he says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, listen to this, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another. If there's any time where we need to bear with one another, it's where you are basically a prisoner in your own home and you're trapped with your families. And forgiving one another. I've had to apologize to Abby and the kids every day this week.
Yeah.
If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do.
That is so good.
Right?
And that's part of the Lord's
right.
prayer. Forgive us our trespasses
yes.
as we forgive those who trespass against us. See, it's not just us asking others to forgive us.
Right.
But it's us forgiving them. Whether they come to us and ask for forgiveness or not,
yes.
we need to be forgiving people.
It doesn't matter how many smoothies your wife might spill or you might spill. That doesn't compare to everything that you have been forgiven of.
Amen.
So let that kind of inspire you. And here, last verse, verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Let this quarantine time be the time where you are putting on love, maybe more than any other time in your life. You're loving the people around you. You can't escape from them. You can't run away from them. You got to love the people in front of you. Well, here is a question from Stephen. And Stephen just started recently getting our magazine, Grace and Focus, and he has a problem with the article in the March issue, 9 Reliable Evidences of Justification by Faith Apart from Works. And he says, he says, I would say, of course, that Scripture does say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. However, we know from John 2:23-25, that people can say they believe and yet not be saved because they had head knowledge but not heart relationship with Jesus. And he says the Bible also says in Matthew 7:16, you will know them by their fruits. Your position can lead to easy believism, and I think that's a huge problem in this country today. That's not really a question, I guess. It's more of a critique. But what's interesting about it, or what's instructive about it, is that do those two passages that he just quoted, John 2:23-25, and Matthew 7:16, do they really say what Stephen just said they said?
Yeah, that's a good point. And let me, before I get to it, say what we're saying doesn't possibly lead to easy believism. It is easy believism.
Yeah, we believe in easy believism. Salvation is easy, and it's by believism.
Right. Now, whether believing is easy or not is a different question. Dr. Ryrie used to say that believing is hard because most people think it's working your way to heaven. Right? Mm-hmm. It's working your way to eternal life.
So getting to the point of believing that salvation really is by faith apart from works, that's hard, is what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it's believism. Whether it's easy or hard to believe, it's believism. So what Stephen is saying is worksism.
Right. If you don't believe in easy believism, then what do you believe? Do you believe,
you believe in hard worksism?
Hard worksism, or do you believe in easy worksism? A lot of people kind of lower the bar. You just
right.
have to be better than average to be
yeah.
saved. So what does Stephen believe?
All right, let me go over his two verses. First of all, he mentioned Matthew 7:16.
Yeah.
By their fruits you shall know them. And that's also Matthew 7:20.
So I think what he's saying is that's obviously, that means You can tell by someone's behavior whether they have really believed in Jesus for eternal life.
And the problem with that is Matthew 7:15 is talking about false prophets.
Right.
And he says, by the fruits of the false prophets, you will know that they are false prophets.
Right.
The issue is not the works of believers to see if they're believers. The issue is the words of false prophets. That's what their fruit is.
Right.
Shows that they are false prophets.
Right.
And so Stephen has grossly misunderstood Matthew 7:15-20.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, John 2:23-25, this is one of the chapters in my 100 verses, faith alone verses in the Bible.
Book, and that'll be available in the summer.
Right. And it says in John 2:23, now when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in him, believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. Well, believing in his name occurs in John 1:12, and it says, whoever believes in his name has been born of God, John 1:13.
Right. So if the inspired author of Scripture says that these people have met the condition
right.
to be saved, then you can know that they are really saved.
Right. And when the next verse says, but Jesus did not commit himself to them, the issue is not he didn't give them eternal life because he already promised he had to.
Right.
What he's saying is he doesn't commit additional instruction to them. He's not going to bring them into his inner circle. And the same thing is true with us today. If we're not willing to confess Christ publicly, which was the problem, the Lord's not going to give us further discipleship truth until we're ready to confess him. And that's the point. The issue is not that these people were substandard believers.
It's not that they had only mere head knowledge,
but not a
heart relationship. That's not in the text at all.
Yeah, and I have a book, Confident Christ, in which I discuss the craziness of head faith, heart faith. All faith is internal, and it's not head and heart. The heart and head are both internal in the Bible. So if you believe in Jesus Christ, you have everlasting life. It's really that simple. And once you start making distinctions between head faith and heart faith and easy believism and hard worksism or whatever it is, you've now abandoned justification by faith alone and you've moved into something else. So my hope for Stephen is he'll hang with us, keep reading our literature, that he will come to see the goodness of God in giving eternal life to the believer, because we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, and none of us are going to be worthy of everlasting life on the basis of our works.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to learn more from Dr. Bob and Sean and the other guests that we have on this show? If so, you can do exactly that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. It's packed with all kinds of materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. A great example is our daily blog posts. You can get signed up for free, and every day a new post will show up in your inbox. Go to faithalone.org. This radio show is made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. If you'd like to become a financial partner with this show, you can go to faithalone.org and find out exactly how to do just that. Do you have a question for Sean or Bob? I know that I've often had questions for them. If you do, I want to give you our email address so that you can reach out to us to ask that burning question. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow, we're going to be tackling a really interesting question. Where was Jesus between the cross and resurrection? You don't want to miss it. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.